This is Bill Whitney with the CBS World News Roundup. The Reagan administration's announcement that a U.S. anti-satellite weapon has been successfully tested against a target in space has provoked strong reaction both in Washington and in Moscow. We have two reports, beginning with Hampton Pearson.
The Pentagon said the ASAT test was absolutely flawless. On Friday, the U.S. launched a killer satellite weapon from an F-15 fighter. The rocket scored a direct hit on an old satellite orbiting 350 miles above the Earth. Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger called it a great step forward in reaching parity with the Soviets. But the man who heads Air Force research, Lieutenant General Bernard Randolph, says more tests are needed.
We expect to do another test in the next few months, and that clearly is a function of our analysis of the data, the kinds of results that we've gotten from this test, and what the objectives of the next test should be.
But critics fear a new arms race in space, and California Congressman George Brown says more tests could have a chilling impact on upcoming negotiations.
It may be a fatal blow at the for the summit meeting in November that's coming up. And, of course, the whole Geneva arms talk have just been sort of marking time until the summit meeting to get their marching orders.
The arms control talks resume next week in Geneva, and the Soviets have threatened to resume firing their own anti-satellite weapons now that the U.S. has conducted this latest test. Hampton Pearson, CBS News, Washington.
This is Richard Schlesinger in Moscow. The Soviet news agency TASS called the ASAT test a dangerous step in defiance of widespread protests of the world public. Leading up to yesterday's test, the government-controlled media here have been saying the United States is escalating the arms race by spreading it into space. In the TASS account of yesterday's test, the Soviets said that has become the cornerstone of U.S. policy. Clearly, the Soviet statements on arms control generally, and ASAT in particular, are made with an eye on Geneva, where President Reagan and Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev will meet in November, and where arms control talks resume shortly. The Soviets are waging a war for public opinion and have seized on the American ASAT test as a way to paint the U.S. as a belligerent negotiating partner. Richard Schlesinger, CBS News, Moscow.
He went to the South Pacific to see the first flight of the Ariane spacecraft and to reassert France's influence. But for French President François Mitterrand, it was a disaster on all counts. The Ariane, Europe's answer to the space shuttle, had to be blown up 8 minutes after launch when its third stage failed to fire. And as David Andelman reports, French diplomacy didn't fare much better.
President Mitterrand headed back to Paris from the South Pacific atoll of Mururoa, leaving behind a grim determination to continue testing nuclear weapons there and bitter feelings throughout the region. The trip was a powerful political challenge in the wake of the sinking of the Rainbow Warrior, allegedly by French agents intent on throttling its mission of protesting the French testing program. But Mitterrand has remained immovable, telling French diplomats and military officers that he was reaffirming with gravity and firmness the rights of France in the South Pacific. Almost immediately, the Permanent Commission of the Pacific, which unites governments of the South Pacific area and much of South America, denounced his statement, as did New Zealand Prime Minister David Longhi, calling the visit a provocative act. But a French presidential spokesman said that Mitterrand has no intention either of suspending nuclear testing or accepting responsibility for the sinking of the Rainbow Warrior by French agents. David Andelman, CBS News, Paris.
An Ozark Mountain tragedy. A bus carrying 38 people to a religious event in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, went off the road near there last night and plunged into a ravine. The driver and four passengers were killed. More than two dozen people were injured. Steve Voorhees, a reporter for KFSM-TV, says the cause of the accident hasn't been established, but there is speculation.
According to one student on the bus, the brakes appeared to have failed as they were going down a steep section of road. The driver lost control of the bus, couldn't downshift, couldn't slow it down, swerved and went off the road on a sharp curve and down a wooded ravine.
The bus was from the Ozark Bible College in Neosho, Missouri. Students and faculty members were going to see the Passion Play, a tourist attraction in Eureka Springs. In the New York City borough of Queens, the first week of school was disrupted by the emotional controversy over students suffering from AIDS. Renee Ferguson reports.
A hearing to decide whether a 7-year-old AIDS victim will be allowed to continue going to a New York public school will resume next week. A 5-day boycott by public school parents has weakened, but the level of concern among parents remains high. Meanwhile, a New York Supreme Court judge will have to determine whether the unidentified girl who was reportedly born with AIDS is a threat to the health of fellow students. So far, experts testifying for plaintiffs in the case have recommended a conservative approach to the problem. Dr. Lionel Resnick, formerly an AIDS researcher for the National Institutes of Health, said he would not have the child exposed to other children because her weakened immune system might be unable to fight off childhood diseases that she might catch from classmates. Renee Ferguson, CBS News, New York.
The government of Honduras says its military has been placed on alert along the Nicaraguan border to repel any attack from the other side. The statement says Honduran warplanes shot down a Nicaraguan helicopter and strafed mortar batteries that had fired across the border during clashes yesterday. Nicaragua claims that its forces have turned back an assault by rebels based in Honduras. A new worry for Florida citrus growers. State agriculture officials have confirmed the first case of citrus canker outside a nursery. The disease was found in a seedling purchased from an infected nursery and transplanted to a grove near Arcadia. A hospital publicist who talked with heart patient Michael Drummond yesterday says she found him really looking good, rosy-cheeked and animated. Nina Trasoff at the University of Arizona Medical Center says Drummond is happy to be alive after being sustained on an artificial heart until a human donor heart could be found. Baseball is not on trial in Pittsburgh, but as the case unfolds, it certainly seems that way. Harold Dow reports.
The prosecutors in the trial of Curtis Strong, the Philadelphia caterer accused of selling cocaine to National League baseball players, are expected to complete their case sometime next week. So far, the cornerstone of the government's case is centered on the testimony of 6 present baseball players and 1 former player: Lonnie Smith, Keith Hernandez, Enos Cabell, Jeff Leonard, Dave Parker, Dale Barra, and John Milner. They were all granted immunity. One by one, they took the witness stand and told the 9 women and 3-man jury that they purchased cocaine from the defendant. But their allegations against Curtis Strong were overshadowed by other testimony that was revealed in the courtroom. Baseball players selling drugs to baseball players. Drug dealers traveling with teams to various cities. Ball players playing the game under the influence of cocaine as well as amphetamines. The 16-count indictment says the United States of America versus Curtis Strong. But in the end, baseball, the game itself, may be judged. Not by the jury, but by the people who support it. Harold Dowell, CBS News, Pittsburgh.
10 minutes past the hour.